So, actually, a question about how to teach Nyaya in our college.
How to teach Nyaya?
How to teach and
when you have to teach, when you teach tanítsunk a Nyaya.
Igen, és pontosan az, hogy Maharaj mit ajánlja a könyveket, hanem mert kidolgozott a Nyaya. Szóval mind a kettő kérdés, hogy én miből is kifolom.
And he also wants to know what kind of books to use for teaching.
Okay, so then, who's translating? You're translating? So then the first question would be, what is Nyaya? This is a question to you.
Oh.
He gets it all the time. You ask a question. Yes?
Maharaj, do you allow me to put here this, please? Thank you so much.
The science of proper argumentation?
Science of proper argumentation. Okay. Okay, that would be... Okay, that would be the engagement of the field.
As in from Chinas as in a pedometan.
You know what I'm saying? Because then... You have two guys, one guy comes down to the pub, he wants to get in, the bouncer says no, they start arguing and fighting. So is that Nyaya? Yes or no?
This is not how I imagine Nyaya.
See, the point, okay, we'll get down to this after. See, in other words, your definition is too broad. So that's the first point in Nyaya, the actual first lesson. What are you defining? Right? Just like the first lesson in Nyaya is how do you define a cow? What's a cow?
Olyan állat, ami hogyha a kúra teszik tejet.
An animal that if he eats grass, then produces milk.
Okay, so buffaloes eat grass, produce milk. So the horses. So the buffaloes. So the goats.
Cash feed fish.
You know what I'm saying? So you haven't defined what a cow is.
So I'm a cow, so nothing more to you.
So something more. How can you narrow your definition? So in other words, you have to say something that it means a cow only and nothing else. Right. So then on the neck of the cow you have that kind of like fold of skin. That's called a dewlap. Dewlap. I don't know what if you have a name for it. So the animal with that is a cow. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yes,
so that's the first lesson in Nyaya.
This is actually
is that the concept in Nyaya is means just that makes it Nyaya is that you are want to say something that it exactly means what you want it to mean, therefore no one else can change the meaning. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's the element of Nyaya there. Now, right now the arguing, that's one way those who are into Nyaya as a lifestyle, then they like to argue. But now is Mother Jashoda arguing with Lord Chaitanya, when he's talking about, he's sitting in the pots, and she's trying to convince him not to sit in the dirty pots. You know, is that what you call your typical argument? It's a mother instructing the child. So is that an argument?
Az egy vita, amikor az anya tanítja a fiát.
Nem, mert a fiú is elfogadja, amit a
Maybe. Okay, why don't you define an argument?
Határozd meg, hogy mi egy vita.
Hát kell hozzá, hogy mind a két félnek legyen vélemény, és ez különböző.
There has to be two people who have opinions, but they're different.
És meg kell állapodniuk közös fogalmakban, amit mind a ketten ugyanúgy értelmeznek.
They have to agree and define concepts that they are understanding the same way.
És akkor a logika szabályai szerint hozza meg fel ilyeneket ezek alapján.
And then according to the rules of logic, they should bring up their points.
So that's the etiquette.
Is it etiquette?
The argument, what's the, you know what I'm saying? The etiquette, that would be the interaction.
Az etiquette, az a viszonyulat egymásra.
Right, the definitions would be the field.
A meghatározás az a terület.
But what is the argument supposed to do? Or what are the means of the argument and what is it supposed to do?
Mit ér el? Mit csinál a vita? Mit ér el? Mit érsz el? Mit az eszközei?
Eldöntjük, hogy melyik igaz, melyik vélemény.
We decide which opinion is true.
Who decides?
The two people who are arguing.
Okay, so that's just their agreement.
Tetszik ez az ő megegyezésük.
Hogyha az alap a sásztra, akkor nem, akkor igaz.
If the basis is sásztra, then not.
De általában igen, ők.
But generally, yes. They do decide. That's true.
Okay. But why does that have to be an argument?
Mert kíváncsiak arra, hogy melyiküknek jobb a véleménye.
Because they're curious whose opinion is better.
So the point is why is that an argument?
De ez miért egy vita.
Mert nem tudom.
Okay, so okay, who is given the Vedic literature?
Ki adta a Vedic szentírásokat?
Isten.
God.
And why did he give the Vedic literature?
Egy használati utasításként adta ehhez a világhoz, amiben élünk.
It's instructions how to live in this world.
And what is the purpose of living in this world?
És mi a célja annak, hogy itt élünk?
Hogy aztán majd ne éljünk itt.
So that we don't live here in the future.
And how will we not live here in the future?
És hogy fogunk nem élni itt a jövőben?
Hogyha követjük az utasításait.
If we follow his instructions in the scripture.
And why will that ensure that we don't live here in the future?
És miért garantálja, hogy nem fogjuk itt élni jövőben?
Ha Isten úgy akarja, akkor itt fogunk élni, de így. Szóval azt várja tőlünk, hogy kövessük.
If God wants, then we will live here, but he expects us to follow him.
So, what is the uniqueness or what's the speciality of following him?
Mi az egyedisége, mi a különlegessége annak, hogy követjük őt?
Means he's saying that means we should follow God. So how does following God? I mean, what's that result of following God?
Az, hogy egészséges állapotba kerülünk.
We will achieve a healthy position.
Okay, and what is the why should we achieve, or what is the definition of a healthy position?
Hogy határozod meg azt, hogy milyen egészséges állapot?
Hát a lélek az azért van, hogy szolgálja Istent. Ez az a létezésének a célja.
The purpose of the existence of the soul is to serve God.
Okay. És amikor szolgálja, akkor egészséges.
And when he's serving, then he's healthy.
És akkor ő is boldog, és Isten is.
And then he's happy and God is happy.
So then, what is the ultimate purpose of being in a healthy position?
This is the purpose itself, to love God and serve Him.
Okay, the purpose defines an element, how it connects to, or what is its role in the process? What's the result of the process? You know what I'm saying? Just like okay. At some point we have to click into. So, okay, another thing. It means this is going to go all over the place for a while until we kind of nail it now. Right? We're talking here. Is this an argument?
I think it is not.
Okay, but is logic being used?
De használunk a logikát.
So then that means your definition of nyaya doesn't define it.
De szerintem a nyájáról alkotott meghatározása igazából nem határozza meg ezt.
Right? Because according to your definition, unless there's an argument, there's no logic.
Mert a te meghatározásod alapján, hogyha nincs vita, akkor nincs logika.
Does that make sense? You understand? So that means then an argument might be one of the symptoms of a forum for logic.
Hát a vita lehet egy logikát alkalmazó fórumnak a része, a szimptomája.
Yeah? Does that make sense? So, in other words, in this case,
your definition is too general and too narrow. Right? Does that make sense?
But he's reading Western books on logic, there are so many kind of definitions of.
Yeah. But what's the common thread?
Yeah, because of sound. Is that it has to be reasonable.
Reasonable. Okay. Unreasonable means?
I'm not sure.
Okay, reason means you're using intelligence.
Right.
Intelligence means you discriminate. Intelligence does two things. You can discriminate between different elements. And it can find the commonality between the different elements. Does that make sense? These are the only two functions that the intelligence does. Right? It doesn't do in working, that's all it does. You know, memory may be part of it and other things like that. You know what I'm saying? But in applying the intelligence, those are the two things it does. Right? Yeah. And then the mind accepts and rejects.
Yeah.
So then, if your mind has accepted one thing, you will use your intelligence to discriminate and find elements of it that match your value or commonalities that match your value. Right? So that's where subjectivity comes in. Objectivity means you don't have a value on it specifically, so you are willing to hear all angles.
Objektivitás azt jelenti, hogy nincs egy kapcsolt értéked, és ezért bármilyen szempontból hallgatod, hogy valami.
Or you may have a value, but it's based on Shastra, therefore it's objective, because it's the Shastra's opinion, not your opinion.
Vagy van értékrenden, de ez a Shastra alapszik, és akkor objektív, ez a Shastra véleménye, nem a tiéd.
Does that make sense? Therefore we can understand all of modern academics is subjective.
Tudjuk megérteni, hogy a modern tudományos témák azok mind szubjektívek.
It's probably the one of the greatest efficiently applied fallacies that modern academics is objective.
Hatékonyabban alkalmazott tévedése, amit a modern tudománynak. Igen, most. A modern tudomány objektív, ez az egyik leghatékonyabban alkalmazott tévedés.
Right? The principle that is based on authority, that's correct.
Az az elv, hogy autoritáson alapszik, az helyes.
But the problem is the authority is subjective. So even though the students are submissive, they're hearing from authority, they're applying it in their life, the authorities that they're basing it on are subjective. Right? You understand? Therefore the whole system is bogus. Does that make some sense? Yeah. So that's why it's their opinions, therefore you're not getting down to actually what is nyaya.
Mivel ez a véleményünk, ezért nem jutsz el oda, hogy igazából mi a nyája.
You know what I'm saying? So you know many books, you know a lot of details, but you don't actually know what it is.
Ismert sok könyvet, van annyi részlet, de nem tudod, hogy igazából mi ez.
You understand? Because only from the Vedic approach, then you can actually understand what something is.
Mert csak a védikus megközelítés alapján lehet megérteni, hogy valami micsoda.
Right? The modern is very observant, very intelligent, qualified people.
Modern az nagyon vizsgálódó, megfigyelő.
But they're not necessarily coming to proper conclusions.
De nem feltétlenül jutnak megfelelő végkövetkezésre.
Because they don't know what is the ultimate conclusion.
Mert nem tudják, hogy mi a végső végkövetkeztetés.
Right? So there's a lot of valuable information, but there's no consistency. So therefore there's no logic. You know what I'm saying? So what you know of as nyaya is not nyaya. You understand? It appears to be nyaya, but it's not. Right? But if it's seen in the correct light, then the knowledge that you know is nyaya.
De hogyha megfelelő megvilágításban nézzük, akkor amit te úgy ismersz, hogy nyaja, az tényleg nyaja.
Does that make sense? You know, it's like so many zeros, you put a one, it's a big number.
Hogyha van sok nulla, hogyha elérsz egy egyest, akkor az egy nagy szám.
Right? So you've read so many books, assimilated so many books, but it still doesn't mean anything.
Olvastál annyi könyvet, de még mindig nem jelentenek semmit.
But as soon as it connects properly to Krishna, then it all means something.
De amíg megfelelően kapcsoljuk Krishnához, akkor rögtön jelent valami.
Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So, in the Vedic literatures, means we'll get into a little bit now, because this is what we'll get into tomorrow.
You
know, the students will get into this elaborately. But since he won't be here, then. All the Vedas only have three topics. Right? Samanda, Abhideya, and Prayojana. It's funny. Jesus, so much Latin words, you know. Like that. It's always cheating, you know. Must be all this French, what do you call it? He's being influenced by, you know, all the French studies. And everything goes back to the Latin. Does this make some sense? I mean, you're all familiar with these terms, no? Okay, now within Sambandha, you have two basic categories. You have the field, it's the elements of the field.
Vannak a területnek az elemei.
Then those elements have natural relationships with each other.
Ezeknek az elemeknek van egymással természetes kapcsolatuk.
How those elements can connect.
Right?
Some connect, some don't connect. Or they connect in, you know, a specific way. Right? By connecting them, you will get certain results. That is their purpose. You understand? In other words, their purpose in the process. Does that make some sense? Okay, then you have that there is an interest in combining those to get a result. Right? That's the other thing. Right? So in one category you have the elements, their natural their definitions, their interactions and their purposes.
Az egyik kategória, tehát az elemek, ahogy kapcsolódnak egymáshoz, és a céljuk.
Does that make some sense? The other thing is the actual interest in operating them.
A másik pedig, hogy milyen érdek rejlik amögött, hogy működteted őket, vagy kapcsolatba hozod őket.
Does that make some sense?
Ez
So when that is deepened, that develops the need or the attachment to getting the result of that combination.
Hogyha ez elmélyül, akkor kialakul a szükséglet vagy a ragaszkodás az iránt, hogy ez a kombinálódás, kapcsolódás megtörténjen.
Right?
Say an example.
You go to, you know, you see some food. You go, yeah, that's nice. It's interesting. Yeah, I might be interested to eat.
Látsz valami ételt, és akkor ez érdekes lehet, hogy érdekes lenne megenni.
But do you eat?
Veszel.
No. But when that deepens where I want to eat, I have to eat that.
De amikor ez elmélyül, hogy nekem ezt meg kell ennem.
Then do you make the endeavor to eat?
Akkor teszel erőfeszítést enni.
Yeah, so there's a difference between desire and attachment. Desire is sambandha, attachment is prayojana.
Tehát van különbség a vágy és a ragaszkodás között. A vágy, a sambandha, a ragaszkodás pedig prayojana.
There's a distinction between those.
Különbség van a kettő között.
Right? Because desire is passive. Need is active.
A szükséglet az aktív.
You understand? Then you'll act. So that means sambandha is, so how the mind works, sambandha is thinking. Feeling is prayojana.
Az érzése prayojana.
And then willing is avideya.
És az akarat, az pedig az avideya.
Does that make sense? So you're not going to do anything until you know what the goal is.
Nem fog semmit csinálni, amíg nem tudod, mi a cél.
Right? So that's the point. That's why your nyaya is not getting anywhere. You're dealing just in the elements and some connections between them and this and that. But there's no desire to, and there may be some desire to apply it, but it's only, your goal is only to argue. But argument is still part of the field.
De a vitatkozás az még mindig a területnek a része.
It's not an actual goal.
Nem a cél.
So because you don't know the goal of what nyaya is for.
Mivel nem tudod, hogy mi a célja a nyájának.
Therefore, application of it becomes difficult.
Ezért az alkalmazása nagyon nehéz.
You know? You know, it seems it's nice in the books, but in my life it doesn't fit, it doesn't work.
Néz ki, hogy hát jól néz ki a könyvekben, de az életemben nem passzol bele.
Does that make sense? So this is actually what nyaya is understanding and breaking down what is sambandha, what is avideya prayojana. Yeah. Right? That's actually what makes nyaya what it is. But still, the nyaya itself has to have a goal.
De magának a nyájának mindig kell, hogy legyen egy célja.
Right, and that's to establish the absolute truth.
És ez az, hogy megalapozza, hogy az abszolút igazság.
Right, so therefore nyája is to establish sambandha avideya prayojana.
Tehát a nyájának a célja, hogy meghatározok a sambandha az avideya és a prayojana.
Means you have, you know, okay, there's the soul, there's the living, there's God, and there's the material energy. Right, that's sambandha. Right, then the goal is to develop love for, to express love for God. The natural relationship is that of affection. So therefore the goal is to have that love and express that love.
A cél az, hogy rendelkezünk ezzel a szeretettel, és kifejezzük ezt a szeretetet, mert ez a szeretet a természetes része a kapcsolatban.
And that's done through the process.
És ezt a folyamaton keresztül.
Of chanting Hare Krishna.
Ami az, hogy énekeljük a Hare Krishna-t.
So the relationship between the Lord, the living entities, and material energy.
Tehát a kapcsolat az Úr, az élőlény és az anyagi energia között
can be realized through the process of chanting the holy name.
A szentnév éneklésének folyamata által valósítható.
Right? And then you develop love for God.
És akkor kifejlesztem az Isten iránti szeretetet.
Okay? So nyaya is to establish that.
Tehát a nyájának a célja az meghatározni, megalkozni.
Nyaya on its own is just nyaya.
A nyaya önmagában csak nyaya.
It's just a tool.
Csak egy eszköz.
Some people make their life nyaya.
Vannak, akik az életüket teszik a nyáját.
Right? But just like you have Ashtanga yoga.
Mint ahogy van az Ashtanga yoga.
Right? Some people only take part of it, hatha yoga, and make that their life. But hatha yoga is meant as only part of the Ashtanga yoga system to develop love, to see the super soul. Right? Does that make sense? So the Vedic knowledge, it's one path. There's not another path than Krishna's path. So all the elements on the path are only part of knowing Krishna. Does that make sense? But people take it out, like the aspect of karma. Karma simply means activity. Gyan means knowledge. Right? And yoga means to connect. But people take the element of karma and use it exclusively just to go to the heavenly planets and all that. The karma is supposed to be activities done to please the Supreme Lord. People take the path of jnana.
Right?
So jnana is within their realm. Right? And they use this nyaya, this logic, simply to, you know, some they have more of a purpose, some just like to argue. You know, like that. So it's the mode of passion. So, kings, ministers of kings, and Brahmins who are into logic and argument are all in the mode of passion. In the same mode. Because one is battling with swords, the other is battling with words, but it's still battling. Right? So the definition that you're giving of nyaya is that of, you know, an intellectual in the mode of passion, who simply likes to argue. In other words, it's a form of chivalry. You know what I'm saying? You could battle with words, you could battle with swords, you could battle with guns, you could battle with hand of hand. But battle is the point. Right? You understand? But why do people fight? Right? There's something that they want to get. Does that make sense? So that's where your weak point is. You don't know why you're fighting. Right? Logician, so you fight, but why? So in other words, logic is simply to establish the absolute truth. It's a method of establishing the absolute truth.
You know,
either for the positive, meaning people want to know more, go deeper, or to defend the absolute truth against, you know, mental speculators and those who are improperly applying the Vedic version. Does that make sense? So when you're dealing with the negative, you could consider that more of a battle.
Amikor a negatívval foglalkozol, akkor azt lehet valamennyire egy harcnak, egy csatának minősíteni.
But actually, it's instructive.
De ez igazából tanító jellegű.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why generally, it doesn't stand on its own. Nyayas aren't considered, you know, I mean they're smart, but they're not considered very high grade.
Ezért nem áll meg magában a nyaya. szóval akik ezekkel foglalkoznak, hogy okosnak minősülnek, de nem nagyon magas
rendben. Those who do, you know, yagyas, sacrifice, that's better. Those who do austerities, that's better. The best is those who study the shastras, teach the shastra. That's the best position a Brahma can be in. Yeah? So therefore, even among the community of Brahmins, nyayas are not considered very special. Right? But a Brahmin who's studying and teaching the scriptures, who uses as a teaching method nyaya, that's considered very good. Does that make sense? A king knows martial arts. But that's not his life.
De nem az az élete.
His life is protecting the kingdom.
Az élete az, hogy megvédi a királyságot.
And when he needs, he'll use martial arts.
És amikor szükség van rá, akkor használja a
harcművészetet. Does that make sense? But someone who's just a martial artist, that is their life.
De valaki, aki egy harcművész, annak ez az élete.
That's a lower standard.
Ez egy alacsonyabb szint.
You understand? So therefore, being a nyayist, that's, I mean, at least in the Brahminical area, it's not that great. But if it's combined with establishing proper philosophy,
right,
in to train others in the absolute truth, that's considered good. So that combination is called anvikshiki.
Ezt a kombinációt úgy hívják, hogy anvikshiki.
Right, you understand? So that's why anvikshiki is more important than nyaya.
Ezért az anvikshiki az fontosabb, mint a nyaya.
Because you have mimamsa.
Van a mimamsa.
But how do you explain it?
De hogy magyarázod el?
And you have logic.
És van a logika.
But what's the use of it?
De mi a haszna?
So when those two are combined,
amikor ez a kettő együtt van,
right? Then that's useful.
Akkor ez hasznos.
Does that make sense? So your nyaya has to be connected to the philosophy if you want it to be useful.
A nyaya kapcsolni kell a filozófiához, hogy hasznos legyen.
Does that make sense? Okay. Right? So then with that as a goal, so therefore then the purpose, nyaya then becomes a, how do you say, the science of establishing truth over untruth.
És akkor így a nyájának a célja az, hogy az igazságot a nem igazság fölé emelje.
Using the method of logic.
A logika módszerét.
Right. That's based on the scriptures.
Ami a szentírásokon
alapszik. Right? Because logic without the scriptures, we're not interested in.
Minket nem érdekel az a logika, ami a szentírásokon.
And for us, the scriptures means the Gaudiya Vaishnava scriptures with the viewpoint of the previous acharyas as given to us by Śrīla Prabhupāda.
És számunkra a szentírás azt jelenti, hogy a Gaudiya Vaishnava szentírások, amit ezt az acharyák értelmezik, és ahogy a Śrīla Prabhupāda átadta nekünk.
Right? So that's actually logic.
Ez az igazi logika.
Does that make sense? Now everything else that you know, if you fit into this, it has meaning.
Na most akkor minden más, amit tudsz, hogyha azt be, azokat beilleszted ebbe, akkor van értelme.
Does that make sense? Okay. So now, the first thing is, so then, that means you have something you want to state.
Ez azt jelenti, hogy van valami, amit állítani akarsz.
Something you want to establish.
Valami, amit meg akarsz határozni.
Unless you know what that is, how will you argue?
Ha nem tudod, hogy mi az, akkor hogy fogsz vitázni?
Right? So that's the first point. Is you have to know exactly what you're trying to say.
Ez az első pont, hogy kell tudnod pontosan, hogy mit akarsz mondani.
Right? So now we're going to... You have no problem with grammar, do you? That's a problem. Because unless you know grammar, you can't be a nyayist. Because what is your tools? What are your weapons? Words. Words are governed by grammar. You don't know grammar. It'll be more difficult to be logical. And you can be. Because if you just understand samandavidaya prayojana, you'll get it. But if you understand grammar, then your definitions will be exact. It makes sense. Otherwise, you don't know what you're saying. You'll use the wrong word or the wrong context. Or... Does that make sense? Right. So, the point that you're trying to make, that's called ukta.
Right?
U-K-T-A. Right? Does that make sense? Now, to do that, you have to decide what words define, you know, exactly expresses that point.
Ez meg el kell tudod dönteni, hogy milyen szavak fejezik ki pontosan azt, amit akarsz.
Right? Means you want to say something. So is what you want to say, is it defined by a noun, by a verb, or a particular combination of nouns and verbs?
Tehát mit akarsz mondani, azt így fejezik egy főnév, vagy egy igen, vagy egy kombináció.
Right, in verbs, then you're going to have six forms.
Igen, akkor ott lesz hat forma.
Right, you're going to have past, present, future.
Van a múlt, jelen, jövő.
Right, and you're going to have, what are the modals, the three modals.
Affirmative, imperative, imperative, and optative.
That, is that also a question?
Question would be, I guess, affirmative.
Okay, so you understand? You have those three modals
yeah.
And the three tenses. So in other words, one is the mood and one is the place.
Az egyik az hangulat, a másik a hely.
Right, the place and time.
A hely és az idő.
Right, the nouns will define the space.
A főnév meghatároz a helyet.
Right? Okay. And the nouns you have six.
Hatféle főnévvel.
Right, you're going to have the subjective. The objective. The instrumental. The dative, the ablative, and the locative. Objective is called accusative, I think. You understand? Right. Everything else is supporting this. You catch this, you understand grammar. It's the same way. It's just like before you don't understand logic. You understand this, you know grammar. If you don't know this, you're not a grammarian. Understand? So like that. So therefore, what you're trying to say, you're emphasizing the subject, the one who's doing the activity, or the recipient of the activity, the instrument of the activity.
Mikor akarsz valamit mondani, akkor vagy hangsúlyozod azt, aki cselekszik, az amant, vagy az eszköz. Cselekvésnek a fogadóját, aki rejárni, vagy az eszköz.
The result of the activity. The cause of the activity, or the place of the activity, or that's the nouns, or the verb, the activity itself. You know what I'm saying? You know, so you have to, therefore then you know exactly what you're saying. That makes sense? So it's a very useful tool in understanding to make things logical. Does that make sense? Okay, that makes sense. So the first thing that one has to define in teaching it is sambandhavidaya and prayojana. Because everything you're going to discuss has to fall into these three categories. So whatever the point that you're making, then you have to know, you know, its grammatical placement so you can speak it. Right? Then you have those tricks of grammar, you know, I mean of nyaya, your you know, vidanda, your jalpa, your this, your that, all these different techniques. But you already have to know what is your upta, otherwise how do you use the tools? Right? You know what I'm saying? If you want to hit somebody in the nose, if you don't know that, how do you decide whether you're going to use your hand or your foot or your elbow or, you know, your head? What are you going to, you know what I'm saying? But you have to know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? So each thing just gets, narrows it down, narrows it down, narrows it down. Does that make sense? Yeah. So you, so the first thing you have to get across is that sambandhavidaya and prayojana. And how then nyaya fits into that. Logically establishes the nature of God, the living entity, the material world, their relationship. Right? Logically establishes the ultimate goal of that relationship and the process how you get there. Then it has a connection. Then all the zeros have a one in front. Right? That makes sense? Like that. Then you go into, therefore, your most important thing is your point you're making. So to make your point, you have to have a definition. And your definition can't be too broad or too narrow.
Right?
Means if you need, if your definition needs three elements to explain it, and you only say two or one, it's too narrow. Right, but if you only need three and you say five, it's too broad. Or it only, it doesn't include those three.
Vagy hogyha amiket mondasz, nem tartalmaz el azt a hármat, ami szükséges.
You understand? So that's why they give the example of defining a cow.
Ezért mondtam ezt a példát, hogy miért tehén.
Does everyone say, you know, four legs? Okay, that, you know, a lot of things have four legs. Or it has horns, a lot of things have horns. Like that. Eats grass, a lot of things eat grass. Gives milk, a lot of things give milk. You know? You know what I'm saying? So, like that, it, it becomes very, very, you don't exactly say what you want to say. Okay. Then you have your specific definitions of each aspect of the material creation that you could use in an argument.
teremtés minden aspektusáról egy meghatározás, amit használhatsz egy vitában.
Right? Because you have earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, you know, ego. Right? Then you have the senses.
Az érzékek.
Sense objects.
Érzékárgyak.
You know, the tanmatras.
Tanmatrák.
You know, it's like you have the eye, you have form, and you have sight.
Forma és a látás.
So all those 15 have to be described.
So mind a 15-öt le kell írni.
Because otherwise, and you don't, like you said, you have to have definitions. So you have to have an exact definition that everybody accepts. So then, after these preliminary things, that you they understand this concept. Then you teach them Tarka Sangraha. Right? Because that's accepted definitions that everybody uses.
Ezek elfogadott definíciók, amiket mindenki használ.
Yeah, you've read Tarka Sangraha.
Most Tarka Sangraha.
No. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, read Tarka Sangraha. Tarka Sangraha is giving the essence of the logic for students, new kids. Then, if you really want to know what's going on, then you study Navanyaya.
If
you have any books in Navanyaya, then you're doing fine. If you don't, then you got a problem. You have anything in Navanyaya? No. Okay. Okay, maybe ask Gordon Ryan if there's something that's translated. You know, like that. At least into English. Because Navanyaya is a further development, that's what we use. Because Nyaya can be defeated by Navanyaya. But in any case, Nyaya is still pretty good. But the Gaudiyas, and I think, I'm not sure, but I think the Shris, they use Navanyaya. Okay. Then in there you get all your different elements and all that, all those connections. That makes sense? So then once they understand what's there and the definitions and what they're doing, then they can learn the techniques of it. Right? That makes sense? But the main thing is what the tighter your definitions, the less likely someone can defeat you. And the more clear you are in your point, you know, your ukta, that it actually accomplishes the connection of sambandha, abhide, and prayojana, the less likely anyone can defeat it.
És minél világosabb az ukta, vagyis az a dolog, amit ki akarsz fejezni ebben a szambandha, abhide, and prayojanában, annál kisebb a valószínűsége, hogy le tudják győzni.
You know, in other words, it comes down to this. So you want to get into logic, it's a way of thinking.
Tehát más szóval, hogyha a logikával akarsz foglalkozni, egy gondolkodásmód.
It's not a technique.
Ez nem egy technika.
It's a lifestyle.
Élesség.
You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference between the Vedic academy and the modern academy.
Ez a különbség a védikus tanulás és a modern tanulmány között.
The Vedic, it's a lifestyle. The modern, it's also kind of a thought pattern. So in that way it becomes a lifestyle. But it doesn't hit the ground. Okay? In the Vedas, the person who teaches it is the one who does it the best. The modern academy, the one who teaches it, is the one who knows the theory but can't do it.
a modern oktatásban pedig azt tanít, aki érti az elméletet, de nem tudja csinálni.
Because if you could do it, you would be.
Mert ha tudnád csinálni, akkor csinálnád.
You know what I'm saying? The guy is teaching economics.
Valaki közgazdaságtant tanít.
But if he knows it so well, why isn't he out there with Greenspan making money?
De hogyha tudná,
Alan Greenspan.
Az amerikai banknak a vezetője, nemzeti banknak.
He's the one who controls the American economics, so basically controls your life. Anybody who connects their economy to the dollar is controlled by him.
Mindenki, aki a dollárhoz kapcsolja a gazdaságát, azt ő vezérli.
So in the Vedas, in the Vedic concept, he'd be the one teaching economics.
A védikus koncepció alapján ő tanítaná a közgazdaságtan.
Huh?
He did.
But is he now, or he just did it before?
He gives some lectures.
Yeah, but I'm saying that would be the one who would be teaching, and specifically, he would be the one teaching economics to those who lead the country.
And
that would be interesting. All these guys should teach the president what he's doing.
In Hungary, what happened? The same person, the head of the National Bank, was nominated to be the rector of the academic university. The university went bankrupt under his guidance.
Yeah.
But he did it on purpose, actually, because he got more funds from the state after.
Oh.
That was a big scandal.
Oh, okay. He knew what he was doing. He knew the system. There are some people who didn't know what's going on are criticizing him, and others who knew what's going on say, this guy's too smart. That's funny. That's funny. You understand? In other words, you're training people as a, what do you call it? In other words, it's a, what do you say? I don't know how you'd say it, a very nice, modern, you know, it's in other words, it's a lifestyle subject. Like you have lifestyle short stores and stuff. I don't know if that's the thing.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, the bhakti is something that's teaching people how to apply these subjects in their life. It's a lifestyle. It's not just knowledge. Knowledge is great, but if it's not applied, what's the use? You know what I'm saying? That's the point. That's the difference between the modern academy and the Vedic academy.
Ez a különbség a modern oktatás és a védikus oktatás között.
Right? Modern is you learn Egyptian. You know, history.
A modern az, hogy tanulsz egyiptomi történetet.
You're an Egyptologist.
Egyiptológus vagy.
Right? But so what? It doesn't make any difference in your life.
De semmi különbséget nem tesz az életedben.
You know, other than you're a great conversationalist and people, you know, it's fun having you at a party because you can say all the weirdest things about the Egyptians.
Nagyon jó tudsz beszélni és szeretnek elhívni ilyen.
You know, you might have a great Egyptian ring or something. You know, something hanging around the neck. I think that's about it. Or you'd like to be called by some Egyptian type of name, you know, but that's about it. But it hasn't added anything actually to his life. You know what I'm saying? But the Vedic, as you study that, you should gain something from it. What did they do that made them so powerful for so long? Why were they the world power for how much time that they were? Why did they stop being the world power? You know what I'm saying? What within their system worked? What within the system didn't work? That you can apply in your life. Right? So in other words, this logic shouldn't just be something for an argument. It's actually a way of thinking about anything.
A logika ez ne csak egy vita legyen, hanem egy gondolkodásmód.
You want to cook, there should be a logic to it.
Mindennel kapcsolatban akarsz főzni, akkor abban legyen logika.
You know what I'm saying? I put the pasta on and it boils. And then I look around, while I'm doing that, I'm looking around for, you know, something to make a sauce out of. After the pasta is done, I dump out the water, and then I make a sauce. Is that logical?
Felrakom a fazekat, hogy forja, akkor utána elkezdem keresni, hogy mit forraljak.
Yes or no?
Amikor felfordtak, akkor kívültem. Ez logikus.
Logikus, mert kész lesz az étel.
It's logical if the food will be ready, if you get a result.
Yeah, and what's the result?
If you get a tasty food.
Okay, but you boil the pasta and you'll make a nice sauce, so, and then the sauce goes with the pasta, I mean that's tasty, it's food. So what's wrong in this application? Not cook. It means the pasta will be cold and sticky. Yeah. So you cook the sauce, then you make the pasta. Okay. You understand? This is the point. It's the logic is used for practical applying in your life. You want to explain something to someone, then here, this is work, because your goal is something tasty and nice. Tasty and nice means it's fresh, it's hot. Therefore, you have to do it in this order. Right? Yeah? Does that make sense?
A
kész
szószágokban. Huh? Readiness. Yeah. Readiness. Like a bottles. Okay. I'm even more efficient. You just go out and get a microwave dinner. I know. Okay, so that makes some sense. So in other words, it's not just between two scholars that it's used. It's used on every platform. You want to explain something to a kid. Parents have problem raising children because they don't understand logic.
Problémát okoz a gyereknevelésben, nem értik a logikát.
So they can't teach the kids. Teachers, they don't get results.
A tanárok nem érnek el eredményt.
Right? Think about it. You went to school for how many years? 20 years? Right? Or more, whatever. At least 20 years, otherwise you wouldn't be teaching in the pocket, right? Okay. Out of those 20 years, you probably would have had possibly 30 teachers, maybe more, right? 40 teachers. How many of those teachers do you remember? About 8. What made those 8 different from the other, you know,
32?
Hát vagy barátságos volt talán, vagy különleges.
Either they were friendly with you, or he thought that they were special.
The special why?
És miért volt különleges?
Általában azért, mert szerette a tantárgyát.
Yeah, because they liked their topic, they were going to teach you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so therefore, they liked it, they make it practical. It meant something to them.
Right?
Does that make some sense? So the Vedic, then, you don't have a teacher who's not special and who doesn't deal with you nicely. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, because it is their lifestyle. It means something to them. And they know the culture, so therefore they deal nicely. Yeah? Does that make sense? Is that okay? Makes sense. Any questions on?
Azt hiszem, hogy megpróbálom akkor megszerezni ezt a két könyvet, és akkor azokat elkezdek olvasni.
You can see we try to get these books you mentioned later.
Mm-hmm. You talk to Gornarai about that. Tarka Sangrahar is pretty standard. They just look up things in Navanyaya. But he might be able to tell you what's available. Or what to look for. He might not. No, otherwise, you can contact Sri Palad. But check with Gornarai. Because there may be stuff. But if not, then check with Sri Palad what is, you know, what is useful. Okay?
May I ask a question, Professor?
Yes, please.
You mentioned that Sambandha has two aspects or two branches. And one was the field of elements, but I missed the other one.
The other is the desire to operate those elements together.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So that, okay. Because I thought these were the same thing, but okay.
They're different. Just like this. You walk down the street, you know, and you look in the window of a shop, and you identify, okay, that's a nice hat. You know, I mean, interesting hat, you know, that's a this and that, or that's used for the sun, or this, or rain, or this, or that. So you've identified the field. But then when you go, that's a nice hat, I could use something like that. That's different, that's desire. And then when you think about it and go, yeah, I gotta have that hat, then the Abhideya starts. Then you walk into the store and pay the money.
So there are the elements, and through the desire, I make a personal contact with this.
You only will make the contact after it's a need, but the interest or attraction, you could say attraction, to the elements of the field, the result of that, that's the other side. Right? I mean, it's just to come up. I mean, the point is you can't separate all these things.
It
means you have four aspects of ego. Right? You have Vasudev, Shankar, Shampajumna, and Aniruddha.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You didn't translate. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So Shankarshan is the Mahabhuta and the false identity.
Shankarshan and Mahabhuta, Shahanish is a Roshan.
So that means it's the field of activities, because everything's made out of those.
Right?
So those will be all the forms and the situations of enjoyment. Does that make sense? Then Prajumna is the attraction to that facility and enjoyment. And that is done through the intelligence and senses.
És az intelligencián és az érzékeken keresztül történik.
Because it's perceived and the intelligence that's involved.
Means,
in other words, Shankarshan is the gross elements that everything's made of. And Prajumna is the intelligence perceiving that and having an interest in interacting with it with the senses. Right?
So they both belong to Sambandha?
Yeah. Because nothing's happened yet. Right? Then Aniruddha will be the result that you can get from that. You know, the happiness you will gain from that. So that's the mind. Right? And then Vasudeva will be the polluted consciousness and the actual endeavor to connect the field of activities and results. Does that make sense? So you see, you have Shankarshan, then you get Prajumna, Aniruddha. They come from each other. Then you get then
Vasudeva.
You can say from the polluted consciousness, from the desire to be involved in material enjoyment. Therefore, then Sankarshan, then you become aware of Sankarshan Prajumna Aniruddha. And then you engage in those activities.
Kant, the critics of pure ratio, the English title. I mean, he starts with the definition of a table. What would be the Vedic definition of a table? Because it doesn't have the skin.
The Vedic table.
Yeah, no, any table.
It means the concept of table, because you go to the root, it means that which lives. So a table is something which keeps things off the floor.
The chair doesn't do.
Can
it be defined? Or an arm, a cupboard?
Those hold things. The chair in the Vedic would be also like a table. Which is the lower one. It would be an asan. You know, it's like, I can't say exactly, but I'm saying the grammatical word for it. You look at the dhatu and it says what it does. In other words, all nouns come from verbs. Right? A verb, in other words, you are trying to affect an activity and you require nouns to do that.
Is it a kind of functional definition?
No, that's the way it works. Something only has a definition by what it does. You know what I'm saying? If it doesn't do the thing, it's not actually that.
Yeah, but I mean, to keep things off the floor, you can use many things for that.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, because I don't know the exact grammatical words, so therefore.
But what does it mean?
Because what is the meaning of the word table? What does the term table actually mean? It doesn't have any meaning in English.
I mean, that was Kant's problem as well.
Yeah, because he doesn't know language. So that's my point, is without knowing language, the nyaya is a problem. So he doesn't know what language is, so he'll be confused. But if you know what language is, you won't be confused.
But it depends on specific language then. So
but language is Sanskrit.
And the other languages?
They're in pursuance of Sanskrit.
Yeah, but it means, from the Western point of view, that Vedic nyaya can be applied only to Vedic language, I mean to Sanskrit.
No, because you know the principles of it, you can apply it to the modern, because the modern is only an expansion of Sanskrit.
Yeah, but in that case, we don't know how to define table. I mean, in English, for example.
That's why people are confused, because they don't know what a table is doing. Therefore, you look back at the Sanskrit, then you know what a table does, then you can define it.
It's really culture bound in that case.
No, the other is culture bound. Because Vedic is unlimited, it applies every time, place, circumstance, it always works. Modern is culture bound because it only applies in that certain time, place, and everything. It's the opposite.
But our students would, you know, they wouldn't start with that premise that Vedic is general and all the cultures, because for them Vedic is just.
But that's the first thing you have to teach. You have to teach them how to think, what's the perception, shastra chakshus. Without that, it won't make any sense. It'll be like him, studied nyaya for how long?
He hasn't been like seriously studying it, he's been studying it in connection to mathematics.
Okay, yeah. Okay, for how long? Okay, but still, it's not clear what it is. But now we've sat down, and in the first lesson, it's clear what it is. Then if you study for a year, then you get very deep understanding. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because you have to. So, what is it for? What does it do? Even if you have to have a whole phrase to describe it, but you can describe it. That's the problem. Is that the Sanskrit is more exacting. But every other language will do the same thing. But you may need, you know, a few words or a sentence or, you know, a paragraph, but you can still get to the point, because the language itself is not very scientific. Like Hungarian will be probably easier than English in one sense, because it'll have grammar, it'll be a little bit more exact. But whether it has the broadness of application, that I don't know. I've heard it's better in poetry and other things than English. So that means as a language, it's technically a superior language.
So it means that if, I mean, you put that much emphasis on grammar, but it means if we want to argue on any kind of nyaya, we always have to go back to Vedic, I mean to Sanskrit, I mean the language of the Vedas.
The concept of it. But what I'm saying is the concept still works in Hungarian. Hungarian means you have a concept called language. And anything that claims to be a language has to fit into that. It can't not fit into that and be a language.
But in Hungarian I cannot define table.
So that's a weakness in the language, but you can go on and on and on, and, you know, until you finally get down all the different aspects of it.
You know.
You know, you could describe it as something that keeps things off the floor, but it's not meant for sitting because it has no back or this or that or something like this, you know.
But what happens if someone sits on the table?
That you could sit on the table, just like your head is meant for thinking, but people don't. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It has what it does. How people use it, that's another thing.
But it supposes that you have a functional definition which is rooted in the history of the words and the history of the language.
That's there, but you have to just look at what it does. You know, like, what is a sofa? A sofa is for basically for comfortable, relaxed sitting where more than one person could sit. You know, it's a chair meant for comfortable social interaction. You know what I'm saying? You can define it, but it just becomes more big.
But someone just uses it to watch TV, and it's anything but social.
But it has the option that it can be used that way. You don't have to use it in the way that it's meant for. Otherwise, what can we do if he's so poor? He only has one sofa. He should also normally has a single chair that goes along next to it.
But maybe there's a couple. I'm sorry. But maybe there's a couple who watch the TV together. So that means that the function of sofa changed by the changing of the society.
No, but they're watching. They're sitting together watching television because they don't know how to interact without the television.
But for them, that's an interaction between themselves. So that's their social life.
Yeah, but it's through a third party instead of someone who's more elevated and it's done directly. Mm.
They do it through a television.
Yes, that's so. In other words, the thing has its definition if people use it in the wrong way. That doesn't change the definition. You know? So, in other words, the definition should be the nature of it that basically you have to get it down to where it doesn't change.
Right?
So, therefore, when I define social interaction, then it'll be broader than, let's say, some other definition. So then I can accommodate, because I know what's going on, what social interaction means. It's the rasa between two entities, but it should be more direct, but nowadays it's always indirect. Because they're not tasting direct rasas, they're tasting secondary rasas. You know, they're watching the TV and then it's either hasya or you know, there's some melodrama or something else, so they're tasting that rasa. They're not actually tasting his husband and wife conjugal rasa, or his friends are tasting that. They're tasting a secondary aspect. Well, if they knew the science, they would directly interact. You know. So that's the element. Does that make some sense?
Yeah, definitely.
So the whole point is when the whole field of language starts to become defined, then it becomes more active. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But what happens is the nyayist, or let's say what in English, I mean in the modern, you call it a rhetoric, right? Is your logic?
It's the same. It's rhetoric. I suppose it's a bit narrower.
Oh, it's more specifically like political,
Or anything oral.
So oral. It's okay. Like, it's but if it's written, then it's not rhetoric.
No.
But logic could be written or spoken.
Yeah.
Okay. So your logician, he is only a logician, and he has to just work with a few tools. It's not broader than that. But in the Vedas, it's all connected. All the subjects are connected, but one is emphasized. In other words, it's used as the medium. Right? Like that. So you could be giving a logical explanation of the philosophy. Or you could be giving, because the logic's not working, you start using a psychological explanation. But you know the logic of the mind and intelligence, how it works. Therefore, you can choose that particular. You know? Or you want to bring out something else, you logically apply. Or you like you show it through mathematics, like he's using math as logic, because it's very set, at least according modern. You know, it's very set, there's only one way the numbers work. Like that. So then that has a particular logic to it. You know, so most of your magicians nowadays are mathematicians.
Like that.
But there's a connection because verbs deal with time, nouns deal with space. So there's a natural connection between the numbers and the language. But for expression, language is fuller. Because just if I just quote, you know, mathematical sutras, I can't necessarily explain. I still have to take advantage of language to get my point across. You know what I'm saying? So therefore Sanskrit is higher than Jyotish. Because Jyotish math only has it's you're going to apply it to something, you're going to get something done. Sanskrit define any topic. Well, the math is defining how to apply, you know, proper time for a ritual or particular elements of the ritual that are based on space or time. You know, or your architecture, you know, or your music, you know, things that are related to that. So it's much a little bit narrower. It's part of.
What makes language superior to mathematics?
Because
the numbers.
It can it means both are languages, but the point is there is any element of means all topics can be described through language. Well, the mathematics will be only those aspects that deal with time and space can be described through math. So therefore emotions and other things can't be described. That's why your physicists don't agree that the mind exists. To this day, the dogmatic that there is no such thing as mind. You know, but if I come in there and tell that physicist right in the middle of his presentation to, you know, the world, you know, mathematics, you know, whatever, physicists, you know, society, and he's the top guy, and I tell him that, did you know that your wife is in the bathroom having sex with some other guy? And somehow or another his mind takes over, which doesn't exist, and he falls apart. And that's the end of his lecture.
But he denies it. He's supposed to deny it.
It doesn't exist.
And you can't say it was a chemical procedure which went through.
Yeah, so therefore then don't worry about it. You know, why are you worried about a chemical procedure? That's chemistry anyway, and that's a lower science than physics. So hey, you know, what does it matter? In fact, did you know the whole audience is taking turns going in the bathroom with your wife? Like that. You know, your lecture's so boring, they gotta do something. So they're really thankful that you brought your wife. You know, so like that is it doesn't it sounds great on the intellectual platform, but in actual practical life their mind means everything to them. They're fighting for their chair, their position, their, you know, their everything, you know. That's all it is. And their mind accepts and rejects what is good and what's not. There's so many ways you could look at it. But they've chosen a particular way because their mind prefers that one over another because of their value system. Otherwise, it's very obvious you'd come up with superior intelligence. But because their mind, its value is there is no superior intelligence, I'm the superior intelligence. You know, what is it? What's that guy? The guy, the weirdo guy in the wheelchair? Yeah, Hawks, you know, he thinks he's God. Yeah. Somehow or another, he can't talk or walk or anything like that. And, you know, somehow or another, you know, he's the supreme intelligence, you know. But he's having to figure out what's going on. Yeah. If he was the supreme intelligence, he'd already know. But it's very obvious by
Hawking.
Okay, so you know, here's a guy, you know, it says, it's like seeing him, you gotta believe there's God. You know, this guy's so smart talking about this, and the guy can't. He's a vegetable, right? You know? So it's like, you know, that's like God's joke. You know, he says there is no God, no this and that, and so he practically doesn't exist. You know? It's kind of humorous on one level. Yeah, unfortunately, or whatever. But those who had a value of God, who were scientists, everything that they understood about the material nature gave them more and more faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that. So that's why I say it's all subjective. I say it's objective, but it's completely subjective, and subjectivity is the mind. So it's like intelligence is you define what the things are, but what do you choose, which one you're going to choose for the application? That's the mind. You know, you've decided, okay, I'm going to apply this what do you call them? You know, mathematical theorem to this situation. That's the mind. The intelligence says you could use these two or three options. Right? And the more developed your mind is, the more it can decide what it is. You know, I mean, you could count it one by one and take, you know, the next 10 years to get to the answer, but you could also use this sutra and get it in the next 30 seconds. So, because speed or time is valuable, therefore you choose this. Otherwise, if we're just being completely, there's no mind and being objective, we could choose the other one. But no one will agree to choose the other one because it's not going to sit here for 10 years and calculate it one by one. You know? That's why you make it, that's all the computer does. But they speed it up that it does so many, you know, thousands or, you know, millions of calculations, you know, one by one in a second, that you get your answer quickly. So if one said that, you know, that's a waste of time to use a one by one binary kind of way of doing it, but computers do that. You know, so if it's so useless, why does a computer work on binary? Why it's not working on something else? You know, saying so is an option, but because of our mind, that time is important, time is money, right? Then, therefore, I do that. And why does he have to do work on the time? Because if he doesn't get the result, he doesn't get paid. If he doesn't get paid, he doesn't eat. So it's 100% subjective. He's only coming up with this because it keeps him in the position and it keeps the money coming in. No other reason. What scientist is going to stick to his own theories and then lose the seat and be completely sidelined in the scientific field? You know, you'd have to, it'd be very rare to find someone like that. That had such ideals, but still, that then is still the mind, because they value that this is actually the truth, and they're not going to, you know, put up with commercialization of science like that. They're going to stick to it, even if, you know, it means that they're finished. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, you know, they'll be remembered for that. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he didn't get lunch, but you know, so it depends what he values more. So he values the truth more, the other one values his position more, the other one values his money more. You know, because someone's in the position for the power and influence, someone's in the position for the money. Mm-hmm. You know, someone's in the position because now I can establish the truth, but their mind is all working. So my point is that nothing functions out of the Vedic paradigm. It's just not understood. Like that. Like the scientist is sitting dogmatically saying there is no mind because it's their value, because I can't calculate it by numbers, it doesn't exist. But his dogmatic sticking to it can't exist is his mind. You know, it's the exact proof that the mind exists. Otherwise it could be, maybe it is. Maybe you're not using your numbers properly. You know, maybe you're applying them on the wrong field. You know.
And by language we mean Sanskrit.
By language you mean the concept of... By language you mean that process that fulfills the need for communication.
Because Western scientists were striving for the perfect language since the 19th century. At first they found mathematics, but then by mid-20th century they were not satisfied with the result. So they said it's language, human language. Yes. But since then, but it doesn't prove to be perfect. Yeah, but
Sanskrit is perfect.
Yeah.
Because it's come from God. It means God wants to communicate with his devotees, so he's not going to waste time. So therefore, Sanskrit is the perfect language to do that. Does that make sense? So the principles, and so it's based on principles. Those principles apply in anything that you can call language.
They
always apply from the simplest aboriginal language up to the most sophisticated. It still applies. So if you have that understanding, then someone, especially someone who is, you know, literary or, you know, linguist or anything that deals with language, they don't be consistent, especially if he knows many languages, should be able to see the connection between all of them. Because otherwise, one has, English doesn't have declensions, so they claim. You know, while other languages have more declensions. Some have up to 20 declensions, but actually those 20 declensions still only fit into, you know, into basically, into six, yeah. That's all. It's just finer divisions of that or something. You know, it'd be like I say, this is a couch and that's a couch, because this one has individual pillows and that one doesn't, I give it a different name. Mm. But it may be nice for someone who deals in the couches, you can tell the difference, like that, but at the same time, it's still a couch. And if you understand that, then you understand that the connection is there. Right? Does that make sense? So then you can connect the language. So even English, we call it a sofa.
Yeah, and she connected me, and I don't know the language.
Okay. Touché.
It's me.
Okay. This is called the mind. Because it's a certain identity that the mind has accepted itself as. Right, the mind, the function has to have an identity. And so, you know, very, you know, intellectual, proper, exact is the identity. You know, and therefore that criticism has been there about someone using, you know, Latin or English terminology.
To accept or to refuse.
Yes.
That's a two function.
Yeah, yeah. So then... But it was mentioned to a second party who then made the serious mistake of smiling at the other's fault or weakness. And so therefore, at the first opportunity that the weakness could be pointed out in the other person and they could be gotten back, because they were using an English term instead of not even a Latin term. Latin's better than English, so their mistake is, it may be a mistake, but it's a more educated, superior mistake. So this is the dynamic. So therefore the mind, you know, that's why the center of everything is the mind. The mind is kind of like the portal through which everything goes. I don't mean that little green vegetable. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Because the body and identity is there. And that's operated by the intelligence and the senses. You know, because that's ignorance, that's passion. But it's all based on the values of the mind. Right? And then the mind, then from there, that's based on the polluted consciousness. You know what I'm saying? So that's where you get the Sakrishan Prajumna Aniruddha and the Vasudeva. But the Vasudeva is actually, they're all expanding from him. Yeah. So from them you get to him, and from him they come. You know, so that's what's so beautiful about the Vedic everything. It's consistent. The psychology is consistent with the philosophy. The language is consistent with the philosophy. The math is consistent with the philosophy. The history is consistent with the philosophy. The logic is consistent with the philosophy. Like that. That's why the Vedic is so perfect. It doesn't matter which one you start from, you can explain any of the others. You know one, you actually know how to deal with the others. If you know that, in other words, generally people just know they're one. And maybe they, if they don't know the connection, that's useless. But if they know the connection, that's nice. But those who know the connection, who know the connection of the subject to the Supreme, and the connection between each other, that's called the nuchana.
Anuchana.
Right? Because they understand the fabric. You know, the Vedic fabric, the fabric, the Vedic knowledge. So what each one does and where it goes and all that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's why it's a superior place to start from. You start from that, then you work out to what you're dealing with. You're working with Hungarians, so therefore you apply it to Hungarian. But it still applies. You know.
But the problem is, if you introduce other languages like Hungarian, English, whatever, they immediately say that, you know, they differ according to the cultural background. Because each language has its,
that's there,
its own history. Okay.
That's there. That's why
it can't, it can't be objective, it can't be perfect.
Yes, but that's a subjective opinion that it can't be perfect, because what is perfect? Right there, you'll get no answer. Because if they could define actually what the perfect language is, they would know what they're looking for. Because they actually don't know what it is, they can't find it. Like if I know, I have this feeling and this and that, and I don't know, I'm uncomfortable in this, and I look around, and, you know, what could it be? But if I know it's hunger, then I know I walk over there and look in the refrigerator and get something to eat. You know what I'm saying? That's why babies have problems. They have all these feelings. They don't know what they are. They don't know what's tired, what's hungry, what's a bug's biting them, what's a rash, what's, you know, they're hot or cold. They just know that they have these feelings. They don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. So that's why mother has to take care. She has to figure out what it means. Mm-hmm. Like that. So, because they don't know what the ukta is, they don't know what they're defining, they actually can't find what they're looking for.
So would it be possible, I mean, or rational, to say that, okay, you stuck into your quest for the perfect language for almost 200 years, couldn't find it, so the solution is Vedic, Sanskrit?
The point is that they want something that is consistent with every aspect of human, I'd say human existence and interaction.
But they're looking for the language through which the work, the functioning of the universe can be described.
So that's my point, is that was just what I explained.
So that's the sense.
Because the point is the universe functions, but everything within it functions. So the point is they don't even know what are all the functions. That's why they still also can't define. Otherwise, why would they choose math when math can't define emotions and all that? You know, they may say, no, but we could check the chemicals. But you have a feeling in your stomach, let's say there's a certain emotion. Right? But the chemical that's dumping into your system is the same one that dumps in for fear, for lust. But it's the same chemical. But you interpret it one way or another. You know, just like you get hunger and you interpret that as good because you haven't been hungry, and only if you're hungry you can eat nicely. Or, you know, you're busy doing something and then hunger comes and you interpret it as bad because I don't want to be bothered by eating now. I want to be doing what I'm doing. So it's how you interpret it. Otherwise, you know what I'm saying? So if you don't know the field, so ultimately the perfect language would be guess you would have to say affection to God. And then that can be expressed with so many different ways. Because if that's there, everything in the cosmic creation can be
megérti valaki, akkor
what do you call it? Dealt with.
Ahhoz képes lehet bármi mással foglalkozni.
Because that's what's going on in the cosmic creation. If we're seeing it, it's because it's been manifest. And it's only manifest for the purpose of rasa. So if rasa is understood, you actually understand everything. Now, if you want to communicate that, that's called language. You know, if you want to calculate it, it's called math. You know what I'm saying? If you want to express it through, you know, entertainment, and then you have music, drum, and dance. If you want to express it through facilities, that may be called architecture, or you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's the actual language. But the thing that can explain all of them and connect all of those to rasa, then is the actual, you know, spoken words, like that. So then that end of spoken word, then Sanskrit is consistent because it's exacting grammar exactly fits philosophy and everything. Means there's like in English you have an E at the end and it kind of does something though it's not said. But it's not really understanding its purposes. But in Sanskrit you have such elements. And it's because Krishna controls everything, gets everything done, but you don't see him. He's unseen. You have, what is that called? You have there's a thing where the letter is dropped, you don't see it, but it's still there and influencing. Huh? There's a term. In there, it's called lupta or something like that, right? It's there. It's influencing. But you don't see it. That's because Krishna is there influencing everything, but you don't see it. So even the grammatical elements are consistent with the philosophy.
Right?
The vowels are sarveshwaras because they're independent. You can say them on their own. The consonants are Vishnujanas. The devotees, because without the Lord, they can't be pronounced. You can't say a consonant without a vowel. So they're not independent. So what a perfect language is that. Everything about it is consistent with the philosophy. So that's the beauty of the Vedic, is that every aspect of every topic is consistent with the Vedic philosophy.
Következetesen kapcsolódik a filozófiával.
Right, or the Bhagavad philosophy.
Bhagavad filozófiával.
So therefore, each topic is completely consistent and compatible amongst each other.
Ezért minden téma teljesen kompatibilis egymással.
But the medium of it is adjusted to fit the application.
De az eszközt,
but it doesn't change its efficiency or its consistency.
De nem változtatja meg a következetességet.
You know? Means you get earth, water, fire, air, ether. But those are coming still out of good dispassion, ignorance. So then in Shankya you have that definition, in Ayurveda then you have, you know, mucus, bile, and air. You know, so mucus has water in it. I mean, has earth in it. Fire also has some earth in it. Fire produces some water. Air carries particles. So everything's all connected, all the five. That's the disadvantage of translation. Is you can't get that level of. No, it's not that. I'm just saying that's the. Because the other one, you have to say something and then turn your brain off, and then once you finish talking, then turn it back on. Because if you leave it on, then you're already two or three steps ahead. And when it turns back, then you. That was my problem the first few years. Was just learning that I like turn the brain on. Don't think, because if you think, you're going to speak where you're thinking. And you miss out from that. Like that. That means the translator has something to do. You say it, and then you listen to the next thing. So it's like you're taking it, giving it, taking it, giving it. But the person is speaking. If you speak it, you turn off. You speak it, you turn off.
I can parallel hear something and speak something else, but no, I'm not.
That's a practice. Yeah.
It's like playing the mridanga. Mm-hmm. That you have two different tunes, left and right.
Yeah, I've seen it. Something you were doing before. Yes, yeah, it's practice. Does that make sense? So, and each one, then, and also then in the what do you call it? The they'll all come back to Samvadnavideya Prayojana. That's the common element that connects all the Vedic subjects. Everything comes back to there in its application. And in its metaphysical aspect, everything goes back to goodness practice. Right? Because Samvadnavideya Prayojana is the Samdini and Lavini potencies. Those in the material world, those become reflected as goodness, passion, ignorance. So that's your common, you know, elements of language. Right? So the Sanskrit bhashya can express that. You understand?
Yeah.
But so that way then you have what's called sangati, which is connection between everything, consistency. Mm-hmm. Consistency and connection.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So that's what you're trying to do. Then your educational institution becomes very powerful because everything's connected. The modern's not. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger because it doesn't actually deal with it. Like I was just hearing that about someone who was in what do you call it? You have archaeology, right? Then, but within that, then you have anthropology.
There is anthropology in archaeology as well.
Yeah, but the point is they're taken as two different disciplines. But actually, you're dealing with, you know, civilizations and their value systems and all that. Therefore, they make this kind of pot, or they live in this way, or they lived at this place. So you can't really separate them, but they have. And then even this doesn't get into it because it doesn't. Now there's some new field that's come up. It's called, ethnicity or it deals with the particular cultural application of that person and value. You know, so they're completely different disciplines, but they should be one discipline. In other words, it just should be history. Right? And in history is such that it includes the broad of all history from creation down to, you know, the present and into the future. It includes then your elements of that, of your primary creation, your secondary creation, your Prajapatis, your Manus, and your kings, because they're the people that run everything, and those are the elements you're dealing with. Then within that, you can also study a specific personality. So it should be that broad. But because the difficulty comes is that in the modern, I mean, so the Vedic is all that's connected to God. So as soon as you start to get very specific on something, it automatically has its connection in the area that is specific to that point. And because they're consistent, because it's all coming from God, and it's all connected to God, you know, God is red through everything.
fonal, ami, szóval egy fonal kapcsolódik mindenhez.
Therefore, you don't need to go to such exacting detail looking for an answer because you already have it.
Minden apró részletbe belemenni, hogy választ kapjál, mert megvan a válasz.
So it might be taken that the Vedic is just another, you know, aspect of application. No, because you're dealing with God. You don't have to go any farther. You don't have to take, I want to analyze that table, so therefore I take off a little piece, put it under an ion microscope, and try to figure out the origin of the universe by looking at this. You know, they think they're smart. It's kind of stupid. It would be better to find the guy who made it. Then you'd find out why it exists. And then you find the guy who made it, but then where did he come from? Why did his parents produce him? And you keep going back, and then you get to God. So their intelligence is being, how do you say, diverted into basically useless areas for finding the absolute truth. They come up with lots of nice gizmos and gadgets and, you know, come up with their computers and airplanes and all this and trying to find the absolute truth.
You know,
and then, you know, even that doesn't benefit the world. It's the businessmen who take it and do something with it. You know, or the administrations who take it to use it for defense. You know, so basically, what is on the market is what the defense doesn't need anymore. Right? And so therefore, now it's given to the vaishyas to make money off of it. And from making money, then that powers the administration to further their things. But what the brahmins do, unless it's used by them, it has no meaning. And then the shudras are just engaged by those to get things done.
Yeah, in history, you know, we have all kinds of cultural history, social history, history of working class, economic history, urban history, history of science, history of art, and these fields just don't communicate anymore.
They don't communicate, and therefore they go off on their own tangents, and therefore there's no solutions. As things go more, they're more and more educated, but they know less and less what to do. Because it means, I think they only figured out like about, I don't know, 5 years ago or something, that one of the reasons for the decline in focus and discipline in the children's life is they had no moral values. And they figured out that came because they're not being taught religion. Because the schools don't teach it, and you know, so many generations going through modern education have not been taught it, then they don't have it at the home either. So then at least in England, they figured out that we have to introduce religious studies in the schools, otherwise we won't have students that have the ability to learn anything. Right? So because it gets so separate, they don't understand it. But the Vedic, the religion, and the religion is already material. Spiritual is something else. No, unless you're taking the religion of the soul. The religion is how you deal with this material energy. Does that make sense? How you deal with the material energy in that is done in a way that is pleasing to God rather than not pleasing. Because the whole creation comes from God, the whole creation must cooperate. So pious is how I can perform my activity that cooperates with other elements of the creation. But that's actually what religion is. So therefore you can be architecture, but your architecture shouldn't go against the construction of the universe and other living entities and, you know, everything like that, the nature of Earth. Right? You can't put no foundation in your building to stand up because Earth has a nature. And you're building out of Earth. You know, you have to consider your space. because if the space is not right, you can't use it. I mean, I've seen some buildings that they're done in such a weird way that there's no living room. Even though there's so much space, there's no place you could live in the house. It's just like, let's say we had a room a little bit, we had a room like this, but we had, let's say, a column or something right in the middle. So that means anywhere I want to get, I have to walk around. So that means no place is a living space where you can just sit and nobody walk through. Because they were looking at it from the engineering point of view, because according to engineers, this is the perfect place to put a pillar. It's the most beautiful, like, perfection of engineering, and they put the column right there in the middle of the room, and it defeats the whole purpose of being a living space. You take the column out, you have a great living space. So that's because in the Vedic, the architect is an engineer. They're not separate. But in the modern, the architects and engineers separate, and they fight like cats and dogs over something. You know, like, so that's the problem. So you always have defects in the house because of these two don't get along. I remember in Mayapur, they were doing the drainage system, and because I'm not sure if it was how it was from a previous drainage system or something, there's a pipe that goes under the full width of the temple there. So now, according to engineering, you should have a manhole cover every so many feet to properly maintain that pipe. So the engineer was presenting a strong case that right in the middle of the temple we have to have a manhole cover. You know, like that, and it's kind of like, this is a temple room, beauty is nice. Well, we can kind of, you know, just leave a loose tile and put it under the floor, you know, like this. It was, and he was so disappointed when they just said no, you know, and then he asked, wow, and then we have to put in a bigger pipe, we have to do this and that, but we don't need a bigger pipe for this much span. We could do it with a smaller one if we had a manhole cover. No, put in a bigger pipe so that it won't get clogged up, and forget the manhole. And they're disappointed, they feel bad, you know. So that's the difficulty, is with time the modern academy gets more and more broken up, and so they actually become less and less useful for getting the work done. It means they may make specifically someone who can exactly do something, but they don't know how to interact, so the whole social fabric falls apart. I'm just looking for a more crazy way to do this. You really want to up the ante on the mode of passion, because you have both of them translate. She takes one, she takes the next. So as soon as she starts talking, then, you know, she's listening. And then as soon as then she starts talking, then it's a little dry. Does that make some sense?
Yes.
So, because they don't actually know what they're dealing with, because they'll take it that God is, you know, okay, that's a subjective thing. But it seems pretty subjective that you couldn't conclude there's a God, because there's so much logic and consistency to everything. And logic and consistency means intelligence. So intelligence doesn't happen by chance. Right? And in fact, I think just recently, then they've calculated, they have the formula for chaos. Right? They've been working on that for generations. You know?
Fractals.
Yeah, fractals. An interesting thing, just on just a side thing, is that, you know, as soon as it comes out, they're just trying to do that. Somebody applies it to the stock market. Because you had this GAN theories, where we're based on astrological influence on the public who are dealing in the market. And they mean, we get it pretty exact. You know, the guy who developed it could predict 50 years from now what's going to happen to the market, and it does happen because they have his calculations and they see it just happening.
Yeah.
Like that. But the fractals, because it's a finer calculation, then just based on the theory, you don't have to calculate anything else because it's already working on the way the chaos will move in that market. So you have to put in certain things that it can base the theory off of. And so... Sorry.
Fractal
means is dealing with the flow. Let's see, it'd be just like water when it pours. Let's say it goes over something, and you see it go like this all over the place. So there is a pattern by which water will always do that. Water will always function in that way, though it looks like it's completely has no form. The element of water will always fall in that way, you know, or air will always move in that way, or earth will always move when it does something. So it's simply the calculation of the movement of something, you know, taking in all the considerations of what you'll end up with. Does that make some sense? Like that. So we just explained they've applied it to the market, and so now you can just buy these things, you can just tell exactly what it's going to do, because it's already calculated, because it's already factored in all the elements that are there, like that. So it's the same thing, but it's just taking the mathematical formula of it rather than the astrological influence of it, or the emotional influence. Some take the emotional, means some people that are smart, they start buying. Then, because it's going, the market starts going up. Then others start seeing that it's going to go up, but then they start buying into it. So then it the value of the market's more than what it's actually worth. So then it starts to drop. You know what I'm saying? So you can look at it from the emotional effect, but the emotional effect is happening from the planets. Right? And the planets apply their influence through this mathematical theory. So you can take any of them to operate it. You know? So that's the thing in the Vedic, there's consistency there. The broader you know, the better. You know, if you would always specialize in something, you know, like that, or maybe many things, depending on your capability, but through one you take it to great depth. Mm-hmm. Then you can apply the principles of that to any of the other sciences. Is you could be expert in Ayurveda, but you could understand astrology and history and this and that. Or you could be, you know, history and you could understand the others, because the elements of them are the same.
So that's why novelty always comes from another discipline. The novelty or reform always comes from other discipline, yeah. I suppose. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the Vedic is worked in that everybody should know all the 14 books of knowledge, though you know at least one of them well to your capacity. If you have more capacity, you can know more of them well. You know, at least all of them should be basic, and then depending upon your nature, then other parts will be known how far you can know them. But then you know the connection, because the basic means what makes it work. And then from there, then it expands. Does that make sense?
And how do you choose one of these 14 books? Is it your personal?
It would actually be what's attractive to you. You know, is it 14 books? It means 14 books fall into three categories. Major, you know the 14 books?
I'm not sure.
four new books fall in three categories. There's Veda, Vedanga, Upanga. Like that.
Okay.
So then within those, whichever one is more interesting to you, and then within that, what may be... So you, in other words, you learn the general of all the 14. Then within that, you'll specialize in a particular area. Then within that, it has many aspects. You'll specialize, you'll learn that to a greater level and specialize in something.
So there are four books for Veda.
You have four books of the Veda,
and six,
you have six Vedangas and four Upangas.
Four.
So you have 4, 6, 4.
Hmm. Vedanga is like Sanskrit, Jyotish?
No, it's four of them are Sanskrit.
Yeah.
You have Siksha, Chanda, Vyakara, Nirupta, Jyotish, Kalpa.
Right.
Those would be the six. But four of those, that's Sanskrit. That's why Sanskrit is so prominent, because it's four out of 10 topics.
Yeah.
Actually.
You know?
Like that. So Veda is four, you know, and Sanskrit's four. So you see those are the, everything's based on the Veda. Right? And the Sanskrit is how is the key to understanding the Veda. That gives, and everything else is based on the Veda. So Sanskrit is the key to understanding the Veda. So that means indirectly it's how you understand everything. So you can give a grammatical explanation to anything. All the other branches of knowledge can be given a grammatical explanation.
Could you clarify on Upanga? So it's not Dhanurveda stuff?
No. Upanga is Mimamsa,
yes.
Purana, Dharma Shastra, and Nyaya.
And so what are these minor Vedas, like Dhanurveda?
They're part of Purana.
Yeah.
Then within Purana, then you have Upapurana,
yes.
Which is your higher Veda, Gandharva Veda, Stapana Veda, and Dhanurveda.
Yes.
Like that. They're known as Vedas, but they're technically the Upapuranas because they're part of history and culture. So the Purana is your whole history, your culture, the application. Right? The philosophy is what culture is based on. That's the Mimamsa, and how you will interpret the Veda. Like that. Then the Purana is its application.
And you have all the Purana. Sorry.
And then your Dharma Shastra are the rules of the religious application. And your Nyaya is going to be the use of intelligence to properly interact.
Right. And what does it mean knowing one book? So, for example, when somebody chooses the Puranas, so are you supposed to know all the 18 Puranas?
No, that's your subject, so you should understand what is Purana, because then it has five lakshanas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, creation, primary creation, secondary creation, Prajapatis, Manus, kings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Sun Moon dynasty.
Yes.
That's Purana. Mahapurana then adds in five more, where you actually started its connection to the, you know, more the social and the connection to the Supreme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get that? Yeah. So then, that would be there. So you should understand that. That should be general. Then you can then specialize in that. You get into like Sattvic, all the Puranas, 18 Puranas, or only Sattvic Puranas, or you know, a specific Purana, you know,
Bhagavatam.
Yeah, Bhagavatam, or like that. You know that very well. Then, or you can take a what do you call it? Itihas, which means you take one person, one king, like that. You know, or you could take you know, one of the Upavedas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then within that specialize specifically, you know, what it is. You know, like in Gandharva you have music, drama, and dance, so one of those may be more prominent. They're all connected.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have dance without music, you don't have drama without dance and music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that. You know, the music is to express something, but the dance also then does that. And then that has a, you know, then you put into form, that's a drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a dance drama, you know, is all the three combined.
Mm-hmm.
But someone may be a dancer, someone may be, you know, just an actor, someone may be just a musician.
But if you take, for example, the philosophy in the Puranas, does it belong to the Puranas or to Mimamsa? For example, if you study Bhagavad Gita thoroughly, it's part of the Puranas. But
no, it's actually Paravidya. So it may be placed there, but it's actually it's Paravidya. So Paravidya is Mimamsa. Means for us it is. Others, because they're viewing the material world, therefore transcendence isn't part of their philosophy. Like Nyaya is not transcendental. Vaisheshika is not transcendental. You know, your Jaimini, not transcendental. Patanjali theoretically is supposed to be, you know, and Shankya is supposed to be, but they're still just dealing with the material elements. And at the end, you're supposed to get to the Supreme. Right? But Uttara Mimamsa is dealing with, you know, getting out, and of Uttara Mimamsa, then that which is focused on God Himself. So then that, you see, God is in everything, so. Because the other ones, you work with material energy and ultimately you get to your goal, but your goal is not part of what you're dealing with. But in the Uttara Mimamsa, then God is everything, so everything you're dealing with is Him. So it's the most consistent. So Bhagavad Gita, your Pancharatra, you know, your Bhagavatam, these are all Paravidya. So they may be in the form of, you know, in this case, than Itihas, or in the form of Purana, you know, or the form of Pancharatra. But they're still transcendental. Just like you could write a theological treatise, but through a novel style. Or you could just be straight, just, you know, theology. You could use logic. You know, you could use history. You could use so many things to. That's the point. Is the Paravidya can be expressed through any of the other ones, because they all come from it anyway.
So can the Srimad Bhagavatam be considered as a set of Paravidyas, because they are all dialogues or treaties?
It is Paravidya.
Because of that, or because of its topic?
Because it's connected, it's directly showing the connection to the Supreme.
To the topic. The topic of the treatise.
It means the topic of the treatise is God.
Yes.
So that's what makes it transcendental. You know, and then it's showing how people have understood and perfected their life in connection to God, how they've gotten to God. So it's done in the form of a Purana. But it itself is transcendental. That's why you have overlap. It means you look at me like how to actually make a logical presentation of something, and what is logical interaction is fully defined in the Ayurveda. Because to have intellectual health, you have to have logic. So because the Ayurveda is dedicated to proper health of the body, mind, and words, therefore it includes what we call as your normal medical science, your psychological sciences, and logic. Because otherwise you won't have. Plus it tells connection to God, because you have to have spiritual health. So it deals with all of those levels. Just like the Dharma Shastra will deal with how you deal in the material world, but also deals with how you get out of the material world, and about God. but its emphasis is on your activity in the material world. You know, what you're going to do with your body, mind, and words. You know, in interacting in the world, interacting, getting out of the world, and interacting, establishing a relationship. Right? So you can't separate the paravidya and the other topics from each other. They're already included within it. That's why, that's the only reason why in the Vedas someone could be a nyayist and basically his lifestyle is complete, because it already includes everything else. Yeah. Right? There must be a logic why he eats at this, why he's eating and why he eats at this time. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's logical if I eat at this time, and then, you know, I'm hungry for lunch, or it's the best time of the day, or this or that. But that's based on Ayurveda. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, he's looking at it from that. Ayurveda looks at it, your health will be best if you eat now and eat here.
So that's why you can choose any book out of the 14. Because each related to God.
Each is related, each is complete in itself, because it's connected to the Supreme Lord and includes the fundamentals out of everything else, though it's has its own vocabulary. Right? It has its own definitions of the same thing. That's why it seems that there's so much contradiction and confusion in the Vedas. But it's just you're presenting it from the perspective of this person, they'll see it that way, the perspective of another person is that way. But someone who's a transcendentalist sees it all at once. And depending upon this time, place, and circumstance, you'll emphasize one of those fields or not. Because that's the best field. You know, you want to apply God consciousness to your house, then you have stop in the Veda. You want to apply God consciousness to your lifestyle, you know, in the way of health and that, then you have Ayurveda. If it's God consciousness in your life according to spiritual upliftment, that's your pancharatra. You know, if it's according to your lifestyle, according to proper social interaction that's connected to the Lord, then that will be your dharmashastra. If it's for your lifestyle and economics, then that's arthashastra. If it's for psychologically dealing with others, it's niti.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time as Ayurveda describes how the mind everything technically works. Because you have to know its connection back to the mode, so therefore what elements in the body can affect it. You know, like that. So anything in the body that will throw off goodness will throw off the mind. You know what I'm saying? Anything that will bring out goodness will improve the mind. Someone who has psychological problems should be engaged in activities, in very regulated activities in the mode of goodness. I can be mentioned to Connie.
Connie.
And tell me, what does Connie mean? Some weirdo thing, you know, the beak on a bird or something. Zuza means a...
Zuza, yeah.
Stomach, you know, because that's what you'd say in English, but it's, you know, Zhuja, then it's, you know, that. Like that, so, whatever it is, I give up. If I can figure out what it would be, the translations back into something that works, you know, I can figure that, like I remember, you know, the dragons, because it goes into that, and one devotee, kind of big guy, his name translates into bull. Yeah, something. I don't know, it's known as like that. So like this, and then we figure out who they are. Otherwise, I still can't figure out. I've kind of figured out gobbler. but all the other ones I haven't figured out. So. Is that okay?
So we could go with some questions.
Yeah, we'll go.
Van-e annak értelme, hogy külön tantárként tanítjuk a nyelvet, vagy elég az, hogyha módszerként beépítjük a filozófia oktatásába, főleg akkor, hogyha olyan diákok jönnek, akik a tudás értenek, és nem biztos, hogy a megvalósítás után elépnek.
Fizet, can you use any point to have nyelvet as a separate subject? Or it would be better to just include it in everything else as a means, especially if many people come not so much for application but just for knowledge.
In other words, the essence of Nyaya should be applied in everything.
A nyájának a lényegét mindenbe kell alkalmazni.
But it should be its own subject.
De legyen egy külön tárgy is.
Like that, because some people can take it and go very deeply into it.
Mert valakik nagyon mélyen látunk benne.
But otherwise it has its application in everything else, especially your philosophy courses.
Professor az alkalmazása minden területen.
So the essence of philosophy and grammar should be in your philosophy.
Mint hogy a nyelvtanok a lényege is benne van a filozófia.
Does that make some sense? Yeah, because that, otherwise how do you explain it?
Máskülönben hogy magyarázod el?
We're not so used to grammatical explanations because
nem szoktuk meg annyira nyelvtani magyarázatokat.
Prabhupada uses them, but not necessarily so much. But if you know a little bit of grammar, that you can figure out in the verse what is subjective, you'll find that that's what Prabhupada's talking about in the purport.
Because
how many times do you read a verse? Does that make sense? Right? And many times you read a verse and then the purport seems very different than what the verse is. Because it's speaking on what's the actual subject. Right? Because our language may not be so developed that we have so many voices as in Sanskrit. Like in English, you have passive and active.
Yeah, it's very difficult to translate voice into Hungarian.
But do you have a concept
yes,
in Hungarian?
Yes, we have passive and active as well. But we are not supposed to use passive in Hungarian. It's regarded as Germanism.
So
bad influence.
Then the problem is then.
But we know. I mean, we have English grammatical terms for that.
Yeah.
We call it active and passive organism.
Also. So in other words. Genghis only did.
Yes.
Nothing happened to Genghis. Because as soon as they say, in other words, they were saying, he was shot, but they want to know who. So therefore, why go around? Just say, you know, this guy shot him. So then, you know, what's this, you know. In other words, they're trying to say that the Germans aren't as, even though they claim to be very active and very dynamic, they're not as active and dynamic as the Hungarians.
And they are impersonal.
Something less. Yeah, personhood less. Like that. Because in Sanskrit you have 9 voices. Yeah. But they fit into the category of active passive.
We don't have a term for voice.
I have a lot of people not necessarily sad
to have a question.
In other words, voice is how you construct the sentence that it brings out what is the most important element from the verbs or the nouns that you're trying to say.
Would
that be an okay definition?
Yes.
No one can sit on it or use it so far.
Like that. depends on the social context. Depends on the social context.
Because it's just like whether it's the person doing the activity is the important thing that you're trying to say. Who it's done to, what was the instrument, what was your goal, what was your place, your time, what was your cause, like that, or what was the activity itself, or even what was you're trying to bring out. You know, you also have a verbal voice because you're